Hello and welcome to the Checkpoint Reach podcast. I'm your host, Luke Keldon, and today I'm joined by Sud as always. But today we've also got our special guest, John, aka I Heart Anxiety Bro. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Nah, we really appreciate it. And you've made it into the top three Americans because you're our third American guest.
Third American.
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Hey, top three, still decent. But you're a streamer, aren't you, mate? So we'll definitely be sure to put the links in the description below and everyone go and check his links out.
That's a little gratuitous because, you know, whenever I stream, there's about that much. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah. But thank you, man. Appreciate it.
It's all good, mate. It's all good. And we've got you here today to discuss some gaming news from the past week. And the biggest one that really came out this weekend has to be the Mass Effect remaster finally being announced after all the rumors. It's going to be called the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. And it will be coming out around spring 2021, so they say. It will include all player-based content from the three Mass Effect games and will include all the DLC. And there's also weapons, armors, and packs. And it will be remastered and optimized for 4K Ultra HD. So that's all good news. I mean, this is something me and Sud have been talking about for a long time now and speculating about. Does this interest you, John? Are you going to be checking out the remastered edition?
As soon as that motherfucker hits $30. Now, see, I'm a Mass Effect fan, and I know that's probably blasphemous just to say that in itself. Well, why are you waiting for the... Well, here's the thing. I love Mass Effect, but it didn't hit me as hard as something like, say, Halo.
Yeah.
And again, it's a great game, awesome game, but... Because Mass Effect fell into that, it's if I'm not mistaken, and I don't want to be wrong here, but it's EA, right? That's EA.
Yes, EA now of it. Yeah.
EA is just, I don't know. I've got a thing with them. They got a lot of stuff, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with the Mass Effect. But see, this just furthers my point. Is like now they're bringing out all this stuff back when we could have had it a while back and probably cheaper. I don't know. I get on tangent when it comes to this kind of stuff, but. The game's like, how old are we talking now? It's like at least Mass Effect 3 ended like 7 years ago, right?
Yeah, was it 2012? Am I wrong, Sud?
I think, yeah.
Right.
So, I think it was 2012.
I'm more of a technology person. I like things that are cutting edge and out in the open. So this, while again, one of the best storylines, one of the best, you know, games that's ever graced its presence for us, it doesn't hit me the same as say like if they would have maybe came out with hey, this is what we're working on now. This doesn't hit me the same because I know they did the teaser, right? Like they showed us a little something that's coming, but this doesn't hit me the same. This isn't even in my radar, but I do like the series, but yeah, I don't like the rehashes and trying to get more money out of it's a sponge. It's just a sponge.
That's actually something me and Sud have complained about a lot. Yeah, over our course of doing the podcast, our remasters usually is something we kind of not interested in a lot of the times because, like you said, it's just rehashing old IPs. But saying that, this is a remaster, so me and you have wanted for a long time. Yeah. We just wanted to play a game that was obviously more up to date, and would please sort out the combat from one. That would be nice.
Well, I don't want to disappoint you, but it seems like.
That's not going to be the case.
That's not going to be fixed.
You
know, they didn't mention anything about improving the combat or... I think a lot of these changes they're going to make are going to be graphically. And obviously they're going to bump up the frame rate, which I think will help one. Because, you know, the first game, it's a bit janky, isn't it? Let's be honest. That's a bit of an understatement to say the first game's janky. But it's
when was it? 2008, though?
2007, yeah.
Seven.
2007, 360, so... Yeah, I mean, look... If people go into this expecting a remake on the level of Resident Evil 2, then they're going to be very disappointed.
Mm.
It's not going to be like that. You know, this is going to be a straight-up remaster. You know, visually, it will look better visually because, you know, with the up-resin to 4K, especially if you're playing on the PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X, you'll probably see a decent amount of difference there compared to the originals. You know, the frame rate, I assume it'll be 4K 60. I just can't see why it wouldn't be. with games that old, to be honest with you. I'd be very disappointed.
I'd assume so.
4K 60 on both consoles.
I don't think I actually mentioned the FPS from what
so,
I could
yeah,
see in the article.
I think, look, I'm really looking forward to it, obviously. I mean, we're both big Mass Effect fans. You know, we are, like you say, John, we are them people that will lap it up. We will pay the the $60, $70, £50, whatever it is, you know, we'll pay it. So, you know, and a lot of people will, I think. That's the thing. I think it will sell well. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. No
and
doubt. We have Halo, the Master Series.
Master Chief Collection. Yeah.
It hits me, if they do what they did, like if they can come up with that, like, you know, change the graphics around to where you can see both and just like little nuanced things, like, you know, really make it feel like a homage to the series. Hey, I probably will get it. But if it's like a half-assed type thing where it's like some shaders here, you know, that some stuff mm-hmm. just looks different, then yeah, that's why I'm saying it's not on my radar. But if it comes out and people are just like, man, it looks like they really did a great job by making you feel like, you know, here's the old, here's the new, and this is how you should feel coming up to now, to nowadays, you know, technology. If they do what they did with the Halo Master Chief stuff, then yeah, I could definitely see why people would be super thrilled.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think with this Mass Effect sort of trilogy now, this remaster, I think, to be honest with you, if 2 and 3 are kind of just left as they are, just with a bit of upscaling and stuff, people will be happy with that, because let's be honest, 2 and 3 played well.
Obviously, they did.
Great games anyway. The one people have concerns with is the first game, isn't it? That's the one everyone's kind of going, will they fix it? Will they not? Will they do things? You know, I'm just thinking, can they do things like, you know, when you're sort of in the Mako on them kind of barren planets, can they like add things in, add a few more assets in, you know, make it a bit more alive, maybe? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's too hard of a thing to do, even with a remaster, you know, add a bit more flora and fauna, stuff like that to some of the planets.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's definitely possible. I think we're just going to have to accept, you know, I think we are just going to have to accept that the combat is going to be what it is. I don't really think it's going to change too much, to be honest with you.
I was really hoping they were tweaking it. I was really hoping they would tweak the combat in the first one and just make it similar to the second one. Because as we've discussed many times, the second game, the combat between that and the first is night and day. And really enjoyable, actually. And if only they could somehow just bring it up just ever so slightly towards that. Because I hate the combat in the first one.
Yeah, you really do hate it, don't you? I mean, I remember you. I can kind of get by with it, but I know you really are not a fan at all.
No.
The overheating is the worst. I mean, if they could get rid of the overheating, that'd solve, like, quite a lot of the problem, I think.
Yeah, the overheating.
Because that was really annoying.
That was really annoying.
You'd fire, like, two or three shots, and it was like, you know, you'd hear that stupid noise and the overheating gun, and it was just frustrating, and then you'd try and get, sometimes, I don't know, do you remember trying to get into cover on the first game as well? It was kind of iffy and, yeah. And then when you first play Mass Effect 2 and you try and get into cover and it actually works, you're like, wow, this is going to be a better time in the combat, that's for sure.
Yeah, see? So, that's what I want, just little tweaks to make things like that a little bit more smoother. But
I wouldn't get your hopes up, Luke, from what I've seen from that. I've read all, I'm gonna I've read get all it midway. The details on it.
I'm going to go midway.
I'm not getting my hopes up.
I'll give him a chance.
Do the edit like after Luke says that, there's like an edit where just like a sad face with the two tears on. Now, what was the Mass Effect that did the multiplayer? You remember the multiplayer in Mass Effect?
Three.
The one that, where
no, it's number three.
Was it three? The one where you had like the down ship and like you had to go and like
It was like a horde mode almost, wasn't it?
Yeah, I actually enjoyed the shit out of that.
Yeah,
so
I liked it as well.
Do we know if any of that's coming back, or is it?
No, it is
no,
just single
I don't think
player.
So
they're not bringing which I think is disappointing, because I actually think it would have been a good way to prolong the game a little bit if they'd have had the multiplayer for three, because I think a lot of people did enjoy that multiplayer. I'm included in that. I actually like the one on Andromeda as well. I don't know if you ever checked it out, Luke. Maybe not, but
no, I didn't check out that on Andromeda.
It was good, really good on Andromeda as well. Actually, the multiplayer. So it is a bit of a shame, because like I said, I think it would have been a good opportunity to prolong the game a little bit and keep Mass Effect in people's minds. Because obviously this is going to come out, and then it'll have a good couple of weeks, won't it? But then I'm assuming it'll probably easily be forgotten, because games just come out all the time, don't they? And, you know, you move on to the next game. So
yeah,
it would have been nice to have some sort of multiplayer component, but it's not going to be there, unfortunately.
True. Did you ever check out Andromeda, John?
I did. I played probably about the first half of it.
Mm-hmm.
like I said, I am a Mass Effect fan. Don't get me wrong. I'm not anti Mass Effect. It was just I don't know, maybe I just seen other things, like, you know, played other games and it just didn't hit me the right way.
Yeah.
Maybe I was already involved with other things and it just didn't. Again, I love the gameplay, as far as like, I love the fact that, you know, you had all these options and you know, it really felt like they wanted you to feel like you were on this space odyssey. I felt some of that, but I don't know. It's probably biased towards EA and just indifferent, you know, things. And it, maybe I had stuff going on in my life, you know, that I just stopped me from playing, but I don't know. Andromeda felt too just disjointed. Like, it didn't feel, again, I'm sure a lot of people, because I have a similar problem with Final Fantasy. I'm a huge Final Fantasy series player. Like, I love that game, the whole series. And a lot of people have problems with different iterations in each one. For example, there's a huge dissonance between Final Fantasy players for, like, say 10 and 12, because 11 was online. So I'm just saying, for example, Andromeda kind of follows this same rhetoric for me, because I absolutely love 12. And a lot of people didn't love 12 on Final Fantasy. And for Andromeda, it felt weird. It felt weird to step into somebody else's shoes, even though I don't know.
No, I totally get what you mean, mate. And I think a lot of people probably do agree with you. We're in the minority who think Andromeda was a decent game and we got some enjoyment out of it. But I do want to touch on, you're a Final Fantasy fan, so Sud. How do you feel about 12 and 10?
Yeah, come on, what are you, 12?
Well, it's not, for me, it's not, I mean, I've said this many times on this podcast, I think, Luke, Final Fantasy 10 is my favorite game of all time, so.
Yes!
It's going to...
Air 5.
Because I just love it. And I think, to be fair, though, that I always think with Final Fantasy games, whichever one you play first is always going to be probably your favorite, or at least up there, because I had played Final Fantasy VII on the PS1, I think, but I was so young. I was about 5 years old, so I didn't know what I was doing properly. You know? One of them, you play, you know, when you're playing as a 5-year-old in the game, you don't understand. It's like, yeah, whatever, just move on to the new flashy game. But then, you know, Final Fantasy X, 2001, so I was about 9 or 10 years old, where you can kind of get a grasp for a game then and actually finish it and stuff like that. So, and I just adored it. I just loved everything about it. I think for its time, the game looked incredible for its time on the PS2. It was an amazing looking game. I love how it plays. I love the characters are just amazing. The bosses, just everything about it, the world. I don't know. Just,
I mean, let's be honest here. Final Fantasy X was a complete, you know, shell shock to fans. I mean, it was the next generation, voice acting, all of the, you know, the whole thing, 3D graphics. I mean, we're talking about a mind grenade, you know. I mean, I don't want to be that guy who just overstates dramatically, you know, but I mean, it really was. It was from 9 to 10 is a ridiculous leap. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's,
I want to say real quick, I'm going to touch on what you'd said. I do not agree with the fact that if first Final Fantasy you play, you generally are going to love. Because while I liked it, Final Fantasy VIII was the first one that I ever had a chance to play.
Okay.
Never even got a chance to play 9. I don't know why, but I actually just now recently got 9 because they released it on an Xbox. And but 8 actually was really good. I enjoyed 8. And 8 was genuinely one of my favorites. But when I played 10, like, I can't even tell you, like, that hit me so hard. Like, I played that game every day from school. Like, I literally came home
and so good.
Hours and hours. I went, dude, I don't know about you, but I went and found all the bonus Aeons.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did everything. I did all the things on it. Yeah, I loved it. I did it recently again on I played it on the PS4 and the Xbox One. I played it both times when it came out on each one, so the remaster. So, yeah, like I said, it's my favorite game of all time. I don't know if anything will ever beat that, really, because it was just a time and a place thing as well. You know, when you're that age, 9, 10, you know, we've all got memories of games, haven't we, when we're like 10, 11 years old. Like,
was 10 the one I actually played?
10 was the one you did play, yeah.
Yeah, that was a decent game. That was fun. I mean, yeah, I got stuck, but...
I think it would have been fine. It was the sphere grid, wasn't it? I remember that sphere grid. At the time, you just didn't really get it. Did you all get what you did with it?
Mate, when I was playing it, I was just thinking, I'm just going to run through this game, get enjoyment. Yeah. Oh, I'm enjoying it. And then I hit a boss that I couldn't beat, like that crab boss or whatever. And then you turned around to me and went, have you done the sphere grid? And I went, nah, I ignored that. And you were like, yeah, you screwed me. You're going to have to go back. So I was like, nah, I'm done. But
I always like talking to people who don't play Final Fantasy, like who only play Final Fantasy X as an outlier, you know, just to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love asking them, do you remember Maester Seymour? That motherfucker came back five times. Like, I don't even know how many. I swear to God, you killed him.
I love that guy. I love him. He's great.
I know, but somebody who didn't like actually like, you know, wasn't like great, enjoyed it. Like, they're like, because a lot of times Seymour would come as a surprise. He'd come out of nowhere. And he'd come back, and I can just imagine the people who, you know, they're just like, who don't really play it that much, or like the Final Fantasy series, like, what is going on with this guy? Like, I've killed him three times already. Why is he still here? And then you die, and you have to start back over. And so I don't know. Did you see Maester Seymour at all, Lou?
I'm not going to lie, mate. I don't really remember too much from that game.
It's been a while since you played it, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been a while, but I am... To be honest, a lot of the guests we've had on have been Final Fantasy fans, and and I know I'm in the minority. I wouldn't say I don't, and I definitely don't, not the person who says they don't like the franchise, I just never really gotten into it. So I am tempted to jump back in and try again, maybe. Especially on the next generation of consoles, give me some games to play in the meantime, you know. I mean, what Final Fantasy is it, 15 that's on Game Pass? 16.
15 is on Game Pass, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it was anyway. Oh,
yeah.
It was.
Yeah. 16's coming out sometime, probably what, next year? Maybe
that looks I don't think that looks promising. It looks very promising.
I don't know. Anyway, you know, that actually brings me to a good point. You realize that Final Fantasy, a lot of people can learn from that, like Mass Effect, and you know, not just Mass Effect, but like a lot of people can learn from the way that they handle their, because I mean, they're all completely different, right? Like none of them are generally, besides like X2 and you know, some like the whole 13 weird shit that they did with that.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, if you really look at it, Final Fantasy is a good way to really figure out how you can make new games, or you know, try to figure out how you can kind of keep up that continuity and still appease the fans. Because I feel like Mass Effect, even the Halo series and stuff like that, people don't understand how to make games within the same realm or sequel without some kind of major problem. You know, oh, well, we wanted to go this way this time. Final Fantasy doesn't fuck with that shit. They keep all, like, for example, crystals are always in it, magic and all this other bullshit. You know, it's always usually
chocobos.
Right. Fan favorite things are, like, you can tell when you get a Final Fantasy game, whether it be, you know, the Final Fantasy 13 weird shit that happened with that, like, it's still, there's all these, like, little things, these homages to the past fans and then bringing new people into it. So I think that that's a good link to what we were talking about. Like, if somehow people could figure out how Final Fantasy does that, or how they bring their, I even feel like Final Fantasy probably has a good, like a crazy, probably good culture, like at their studios and their devs and stuff like that. Because I mean, you can just tell the game is taken care of from point A to point B and beyond. Maybe some games looked a little weird, like 13 and stuff like that, but still, you could tell there was a definite level of, you know, whatever.
It's funny you say that, because obviously Final Fantasy 15 received a lot of criticism, but I've got to say, I really like that game a lot. Like, I really like Final Fantasy 15, and I know that's probably a minority opinion, but I really enjoyed it. I thought, look, okay, the game definitely wasn't perfect. There was definitely problems with it, but I actually really enjoyed the story. I thought the story was really good.
It was a Final Fantasy game, though.
Yeah, exactly, and I know some people have a problem with the combat, and it's more like, I mean, it plays more like Devil May Cry than Final Fantasy, in all honesty. But yeah. I don't really mind that too much.
It was okay. You know, it wasn't anything like to be like, oh, whatever.
No, it wasn't
anything
special.
I don't like the way they did the monsters. I don't know why. I didn't care for that. I don't like the way.
Yeah, some of them are a little bit lame, I guess. But I just thought the story was really good. Especially, like, the more you went on, the better the story got, I thought. There was definitely some confusing parts that probably could have, you know, I can think of a chapter. Have you played the game fully? 15?
Yeah.
You remember the chapter? Oh, what was the chapter where you kind of, was it chapters, infamous chapters, and there's a chapter 12 or chapter 13 in the game? Where, like,
I played that game one time through.
I can't remember. Oh. Like,
You're probably gonna have to remind me.
Yeah, so yeah, there was a, I can't remember the exact chapter it was, but there is definitely an infamous chapter that a lot of people have a problem with. It's when you're playing as what's his name? Is it Prompto?
Say it again.
Prompto. Was it Prompto, the kid? The youngest one.
Oh yeah, I think
you remember. There's a chapter where you play as him and you're kind of like going through some sort of weird, prison or something. It's like, I don't know. It was just a very strange chapter and it was like off from the rest of the game, if you know what I mean. And it kind of felt a bit like this isn't really, shouldn't be in the game almost. And that kind of, I spoiled the game a little bit, but I still thought the game was really fun and I thought it had a great ending actually as well. I enjoyed the ending to the game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. They Final Fantasy right now is, in my opinion, an identity crisis. Like they're trying to move forward. They don't want to be, you know, they don't want to be stuck in the old ways where it's just turn based and everything feels the same. Because I mean, let's be honest, from, you know, one all the way up to probably 10 really was turn based. You know, you knew what was the combat that was about to unfold. You could feel, you know, what was about to happen. 12 took it in, you know, everyone, that's why everyone hated 12, because it went to that gambit system to where everything was, you could do different things and, you know, you didn't have to just do turn-based, like you had strategy and stuff like that. And then 13 just was like, hold my beer, you know, let's go with this whole paradigm shift and let's figure out what this is going to be. We're going to be edgy and cool. And then, you know, 15, we're going to go to more of a, you know, like it's just, you could tell like at the studio, they were really grappling with staying relevant, like what they felt would be relevant in the technology sphere of the world. Like they knew that, you know, well, if we want to get more people, and this is my problem with like EA and all these other places, like they don't just say, listen, we either have to up the price on these CDs, you know, up the price on the games, or we're going to have to try new shit to get more people, because while we love you guys, we love our fans, we're not making enough money to pay because these AAA titles, man, yeah, they're costing, you know, millions of dollars to make, but they're also paying these rock star devs, you know, a lot of money, you know, and people don't understand that, like, we've been at $60 a game for a long time. And obviously, you know, there's the $100 digital edition and whatnot, but people on a budget more often than not are going to buy the $60 version. So I think Final Fantasy is in that identity crisis where they're trying to remain relevant. They're trying to attract new people. So they're trying to come up with creative ways other than asking their fans to, you know, dig more into their wallet and pay more money because that's the way it seems that we're going, is like all these, you know, downloadable content, skins and all this stuff that, you know, we have nowadays, the e-stores, because people don't understand that they're, you know, it's a business. This isn't like some hobby that these people are just, you know, like, oh, we just love video games. I mean, we're just putting our hopes and dreams right here on the disc for you, and we don't need to feed our families. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know. I think that's the problem. I think we need to figure out maybe a price jump. And I know people don't want to hear that because, you know, a lot of us are budget gamers. But we need to figure out how to bring the price up of the games so that way they can spend more money and they don't have to resort to these crazy tactics and go off the reservation to generate business elsewhere. You know what I mean? With the e-stores and the different combat and all this other stuff. Sorry, tangent.
Yeah. It's all good, man.
We've gone on a few tangents today. But yeah, I know, to be fair, though, just to find a point I'd make, I think, on Final Fantasy is that I think it is heading in the right direction. I mean, I thought 16 looked really good in that first trailer we saw at the PlayStation event. I know even you, Luke, kind of...
Yeah, I like that.
Saying like, oh, like, you're not a Final Fantasy fan, but even you said, like, oh, that's maybe something I'd look at, you know?
Yeah, it looked intriguing, so definitely. Love to see
a
more.
Bit different, and it looked good, so... Hopefully they'll... I just hope that, you know, they carry on, and hopefully we'll, you know, see a rejuvenation of Final Fantasy.
Yeah, well, time will tell with that one for sure. But touching on, John, you mentioned price and stuff. Going back to Mass Effect and the remaster trilogy, what do we think the price will be for this?
I wouldn't be surprised if it, you know, if it wasn't in that $80 range. That's what I think. I think it's going to be in the $80.
Right.
I think it'll be, well, I don't know, 70. Probably. I think it'd just be the normal price. to be honest.
£70 for us and 80 for Americans.
Well, I guess if you're buying digital. It depends if you're buying digital physically, doesn't it, in the UK? Because obviously in the UK, unfortunately, you pay more for digital, which...
which I'll be doing,
kind of, you know, I think that's... Yeah, it's kind of why digital hasn't took off the same...
That's an American thing, too. I've been many a time to Walmart or wherever, and it's like $40 at Walmart, but still $60.
Yeah.
You're paying for server space is what you're paying for. Yeah.
I've never understood the conversion, though, because at the end of the day, like Demon's Souls, for example, is $70 in the US, right? It's also £70 UK, which literally makes no sense. That means we're paying an extra sort of £10, $10. And so it's like, I don't know, these conversion rates sometimes annoy me, but that's a discussion for another day. But I think Mass Effect will be the $70, I don't know, what would you say, £60 mark. You know, at the end of the day, I think you're getting good value there. I mean, you know, people say it's remasters and all. Yeah, I get that, but you're getting hours and hours of content for your money.
All the downloadable content, everything.
Yeah, you're getting all the DLC as well, which that's another thing, Luke, that we kind of should touch on. All the DLC that we haven't played.
Yeah, I know. Haven't played it.
I played some of it, but not all of it. So yep.
I remember. I've watched them on playthroughs of other people's, and the DLC do seem quite fun, so I'm looking forward to playing them myself and, you know, having my own spin on it, I guess.
Especially that Citadel DLC.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Really good.
Yeah. But at the time, yeah, we never played it, did we? I wonder why.
No. I don't know. We just never seen it around.
To be fair, though, at the time, I was I was probably struggling for money more so
being a
teenager than just being a grown adult who still probably struggles for money but can find a little extra if I need it.
Yeah.
So, exactly. You know, it's just one of those things. And it'll be nice to actually play this time.
So see what I mean? Like, look, we just saw the economics of what Luke has to deal with right here. I mean, he's literally, I mean, that's why, and this is another little tangent, but that's why things like the Game Pass, like the Xbox Game Pass, are going to be revolutionary thing. You're going to start seeing people try to emulate this in all. I mean, it's already been done. You know, there's EA, you know, Game Pass and these other different things that people have. But not to the level I think that Xbox is doing it. Like they're really like, I have Game Pass. I pay for the Ultimate Edition, and they're literally putting brand new AAA titles launch day on these, you know, on Game Pass, and they're basically making it impossible for you not to at least try the game. And if you want it, you know, because, you know, obviously they're probably at some point, because I have a lot of people on my friends list who are like, well, I'm not going to get Game Pass because if I buy a game, I'm a collector. I don't want it to be disappeared from my library in a year or whatever. I'm like, dude, really? Like, you might not even play that game later, like in a year. Like, I'm not like that. Like, yeah, okay, sure. Maybe Cyberpunk or whatever is going to be gone off there, which, by the way, it's not. It's not going to be gone in a year. But even if it was, you know, it's like you got what you got out of it. If you love it that much, go tell the developers and buy an edition. You know what I mean? Don't don't just sit there and hide behind the $5, $10 thing, whatever it is. But yeah, I don't know. I really think that is probably where we're going with all of this, with that. Because like I said, you just touched on it a little bit. And I'm sorry, I wanted to address that, because we want to play these games. We want to have these great adventures. We want to, you know, we want to do these things, but we can't because, you know, we have to have the money to do it. So
yeah, definitely. And we totally agree with you, mate, when it comes to Game Pass, because we are big fans of that service, and it is a fantastic service, really. I know there will be fanboys from other sides suggesting that we're fanboys or something, but no, when you actually look at it subjectively for what it is, or objectively, sorry, it is a fantastic service, and it does help gamers out, man. I mean, I think I've just got the normal edition, so it's £10 a month for me, and I'm going to play games that...
So
what'd you say? Sorry.
So yeah, I play with X. I have the Ultimate, which is just it's literally just Xbox Live with the Game Pass. So that's what I pay for.
You also get it on PC as well, if you game on PC, which is great with Ultimate.
You do. So. And it definitely, like you've touched on, I'm going to be trying games that there is no way in hell I'd ever have tried before.
Like, what's the game we always bring up, Luke? What Remains of Edith
Finch.
Game you'd have never played.
Yeah, I would never have played that.
It wasn't on Game Pass.
I'm so glad I did, because it was one of the best gaming experiences I've had, though it's essentially a walking simulator, but it told a fantastic story.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is as well, I mean, it's like, we've said this countless times on this podcast, but literally, maybe not you so much, but I'm literally buying an Xbox Series S for Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I understand how great a value it is, and I don't want to miss out on some of the games that that are going to be on there. You know, you think of obviously all the Bethesda games that are going to be on there day one. You think of like Halo, Gears, Forza, all those games are going to be there day one when a new, you know, each new version releases. You think of all the indie titles they get day one. There's going to be so many games to play, and even the random third party games they get on there. So, and you know, my primary console is going to be the PlayStation 5, but you know, and that's going to be mainly for, you know, the games that aren't on Game Pass. But my Series S is going to be a great Game Pass machine for me, and I think a lot of people are, I think a lot of people are going to be in that same boat. You know, a lot of PlayStation gamers that play on PlayStation, I think, would be tempted by that Series S with Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just another avenue for Xbox and Microsoft to make money. So
it is.
You know, there's no doubt Game Pass has revolutionized things. And you even look at like the way PlayStation, do you really think PlayStation now even would, you know, it's not, I'm not saying PlayStation now is great, but it's in a much better shape because of Game Pass.
Yeah, because they needed to.
They had to improve it. I mean, I don't know if any of you, PlayStation Now was terrible. When it first came out, it was bad. It wasn't good at all. Like, you know, some of the games on it. And they've improved it a lot in the last couple of years, you know, because they've had to, because they have to compete with Game Pass. And you look at that, is it the PlayStation Collection, where you get 20 first-party games when you get your PS5?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's only because of Game Pass, I think. I think without that, they wouldn't be offering a service like that. So, you know, I think it just breeds competition when you do good things that Xbox are doing, and that's good for everyone at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree. When it comes to the next gen consoles, John, what side are you going to fall on?
I do not have a side. I am completely neutral. I just love, like, honestly, man, like, I got into the streaming thing because of, you know, my love of video games. I always believed in that rhetoric where, you know, you don't do something unless you have a passion for it. And I absolutely love storytelling. I love, you know, just the fidelity of the resolutions and all, you know, just the whole process, the artistry, the narrative, you know, just, I'm the kind of guy, like, you know, how some people are just like really into books, you know, they love to read, they love being locked away in that fantasy land. I'm the exact same way with video games. Like, you put me in like a sandbox type game, open world, where I can just do whatever, like Skyrim or something like that. I am just absolutely happy. I'm in the best place in the world. That's my home. That's where I like to live, is in these, you know, dreamscapes of, you know, just things that I've never even thought of, you know, things that I've never even imagined. But now that I see them, they give me pause, you know, they get like, wow, you know, like, this is amazing. I don't know. It's just, it's that mind thing, right? Like, you just get lost in it. It's euphoric. So,
yeah.
But I don't have a specific, I literally will play anything, anywhere. I had a PlayStation 2 for the longest time. I mean, I had to play Final Fantasy 10 on that. So I don't have I will admit, I don't have a PlayStation right now. I've been like Xbox for the last like 10 years, but that's only because the only reason I have only gotten Xbox is because what happens when we have these fanboy wars and things aren't connected? We have to decide which friends we're going to play with. That's right. I don't like that. I don't like the fact that we have to pick and choose our friends based on consoles because they can't afford the other one. You know what I mean? Like, I can go out and buy a PS5 or whatever, PS4, but I did that. Actually, now that I think about it, 2 years ago, I went and bought a PS4 and got Tales of Berseria and something else. I can't remember what. Oh, Final Fantasy Realm Reborn, because I wanted to play Final Fantasy Realm Reborn. I was just like, I have to play this game. So I went and bought a PS4 and, dude, after I realized that Final Fantasy 14 wasn't my game, like, I just couldn't get as much into it as I wanted to because of the combat or whatever, my PS4 sat there for months and I didn't play it because all my friends were on Xbox. Everybody that I know, everybody I talk to, it's not because PS isn't a great system. It's just I have no reason to be there other than, you know, just those games.
Well, that rings true to home for us too, doesn't it? So most of our friends are on Xbox, and that's been the main reason over the last, probably same as you, John, 10 years that we've had the Xbox systems, essentially.
Although a bit different for me, because last couple of years I've been more PlayStation, I guess. But obviously for a long time was Xbox, wasn't it? Because of where all our friends were there. So,
but do you play because of a single player, or do you play because of your friends?
The Xbox.
The PS. No, I mean on the PS.
Oh, the PlayStation. I'm more of a PlayStation gamer now because I just prefer that ecosystem now, and I prefer the games on there. I don't know. It's just one of those things. It's just where I've naturally gravitated towards, I think.
Single player, though, essentially, isn't it?
Single player, yeah. I'm a big, you know, I do play the odd multiplayer game, but it's more single. I'm a big single player guy. And the type of games that PlayStation offers to me are the type of games I like, story driven, you know. Whereas that's the one thing on Xbox I still think they need to fix. Like, and hopefully they will fix, because they've obviously bought Bethesda, which will help a lot with that. Yeah. You know, they've obviously got this initiative studio. Who knows what they're working on? Hopefully it's a story-driven game. You know, that's the one thing with Xbox I still feel like they are behind, is the obviously the first-party games they need to improve, which hopefully they're going to do now with these studios. But, you know, I think we've always said, haven't we, Luke, that the Xbox, they don't have that killer single-player, like, epic, do they, like PlayStation do with, like, God of War and Horizon Zero Dawn and Detroit Become Human?
I don't know here. Dude, Halo. Gears of War. Come on.
Halo's great. I love Halo. Halo's great. I'm really looking forward to Halo Infinite, but...
You're killing me.
Yeah, but it's not... Halo's not what it once was, unfortunately. And you know, I love Halo. I love the Halo Master Chief Collection. I even enjoyed Halo 4 and 5. Like, I didn't think they were great games, but I enjoyed them for what they were. But Halo, I'm hoping with Infinite they can, you know, they can build on that, because I think Xbox needs Halo, doesn't it? It just needs a strong Halo.
Yeah, no, but I agree with you as far as the narrative of it needs more story-driven, games. There are, especially, I will say this, a big thing that I do miss that I don't have on that I don't have on Xbox that PS5 does is they get a lot more of the JRPGs. Mm. You know, I'm a huge anime nerd, unfortunately. Yes, I am. And I love anime. I love, it falls within my creative realm. Like, I like all the, you know, the different possibilities and all the art and all that stuff. But point is I don't get access to a lot of the JRPGs that I would if I hadn't, you know, if I'd be on that. Like, for example, I'm not going to get to play Final Fantasy, the remake of Final Fantasy VII, until whenever they decide.
Yeah, hopefully it will come to Xbox at some point. I mean... We don't. It's a bit funny, isn't it? They were a bit vague on the time exclusivity and when it would come to Xbox, if it will at all. Hopefully, it does, because I think it'd be a bit of a shame if Xbox fans couldn't experience it, because it is really good. I agree. You know, I'm a big fan of JRPGs as well. Not as big of a fan of JRPGs as I used to be, but still, I still, you know, enjoy playing them. So that's another reason why PlayStation's kind of become, I guess, the number one console for me personally. But look, I'm still going to play. I'm looking forward to seeing Halo. I'll play it on my Series S. I'll play Halo Infinite. I'll play Gears 6. I'll play the next Forza, because I do still enjoy those games. And I enjoy, you know, some of the other, you know, obviously the Bethesda games are going to be big, aren't they? If they do go exclusive, especially, you know, obviously. Obviously, that's a debate as well. If they're exclusive or not. But, you know, you're talking the next Doom, the next Wolfenstein, the next Elder Scrolls, the next Fallout. Yeah, but I mean, I love all those series, so I'll be playing on Xbox with those. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, this generation definitely for us too. We're going to be on both from the start, aren't we? Mm. Both got a PS5 and got this Series S, which I wouldn't have been on both at the start if it wasn't for the Series S. But obviously, with it being the more affordable option on the Xbox side of things, then I thought I have to get that and just get the Xbox Game Pass with it. That's all I need on the Xbox side for me, really. And it's going to work out perfectly, so, which I'm really excited for, actually. I get it tomorrow. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yes, comes tomorrow.
Speaking of reasons of why to get an Xbox now, did you guys see the news leak about what might be happening with the Game Pass, like what they might be acquiring?
I saw the Disney Plus stuff.
Right. So
was it Disney Plus?
Right. It's not confirmed yet. Yeah, it's not confirmed. But Xbox Pass might be trying to go even further with this whole thing. Like, you know, they might be actually getting additional services within their realm. Like, could you imagine the Xbox Game Pass, all the games you want, right? Then it includes your, you know, some of your favorite streaming titles, you know, for movies and stuff like that. Like, they might be... If they do it the right way and somehow figure out a price point, they might be the next Amazon of, you know, like online gaming, you know, like the online gaming hub. Like, you know, okay, you want a game? Here's our game section. You want to watch movies? It's included. You want to, you know, whatever. If you want cloud gaming? It's on here too. You know, like Game Pass might actually revolutionize that.
So that would be why. Sorry, just quickly said. That's why then the Game Pass... official Twitter account tweeted a picture of the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda yesterday and said, like, we're not just tweeting this for no reason whatsoever. And everyone just started speculating then, like, oh my god, what's coming?
It's funny though, isn't it? You know how you say about all it? It's funny really, because it seems like, you know how Xbox One in 2013 was doomed and came out with this bad messaging? Isn't it eerily similar now in terms of, not in terms of the messaging, but in terms of like the same thing they were trying to promote in 2013, they can do now because people have moved on to digital. Like they were trying to do.
They were ahead of their time.
2013. They were too. But unfortunately, at the time, people weren't ready.
They weren't receptive to it. No.
Now, like, yeah, you might still get the odd naysayer that's like, I don't like subscriptions. Like, I think you mentioned it before, John. People are like, yeah, I just want to buy my game. I don't want to buy subscriptions. Let me buy my games. I'm a collector, stuff like that. But I think the vast majority of people now, you know, they like subscription services. They like sort of.
Mate, everything in people's lives these days tends to be subscription based.
Yeah. Netflix, Amazon Prime, you know, all that. Everyone, you know, so. Yeah, I mean, that's true. So it's just funny. I think it's funny how things are coming full circle for Xbox. You know, the things they tried in 2013 that didn't come off, they probably just thought, well, okay, we'll back down for now. And then in a few years' time, when people become, we'll just try and bring it back again. It seems like that's what they're doing. Like, and it's just funny how things work out really like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
People don't know what they want. That's the problem. People don't know what they want. True. And we got caught up in the fact that it's an always online, you know, console, which, don't get me wrong, that is kind of you know, you do segregate you know, people in your, you know, in your realm, because there are people like that have, like, you know, military who can't get, you know, yeah, always internet connection, stuff like that. So I get the backlash, but people need to understand that they probably would have made a console anyway that would have been able to go offline, even had they cut, you know, continued what they were doing.
It's just one of the things, though, where, I mean, I don't know about you, Luke. I don't think I've ever had my Xbox not online. So everyone fretted about, you know, everyone was scared about, oh, always online. I've never once been offline with my Xbox or my PlayStation.
I guess, though, it's always the fear, isn't it? John touched on, what if you do go away with the military or something?
Yeah,
or you go away and you want to take your console with you for some entertainment, and then all of a sudden there's no Wi-Fi, you can't get on, and then you're berating Xbox.
But how many people, what, if you had to guess a percentage of people that are playing these consoles offline, I think it's probably less than
5%. Oh, yeah, it'll be low.
Less than 5% now. Most people are playing with an online connection. There's no doubt about that. I mean, yeah, okay. In some remote areas of the world, maybe, you know, where the internet's not very good, or remote places in certain countries, yeah, fine. But that's a big minority. Now.
But surely, you know, it's not a hard thing to just have a console that doesn't have to be online all the time anyway. So you don't need to exclude them. So that, I think that's why people just like, yeah, most people will play online, but you don't have to go out of your way to just say, right, it has to be online all the time. Because it's like, there's no need to exclude people for that. It's not that big of a deal. In my opinion, anyway.
And Xbox did a fantastic... yes, they took a lot of heat, and they did come out with all that crap, and it had to go and change shit and do all this. But they did an amazing job of slowly, like, now that he brought that up, of integrating what they wanted to originally do into what it is now. So, like, they did that, like, that behind the... Oh, you don't like that? Well, guess what? It's going to be put into your console within the next 5 years. You're not even going to realize that you need an online console because... Guess what? Now that you have Xbox Pass, all this stuff that you depend on to have your fun during the day, guess what it needs? It needs an internet connection. So you're just like, did I just, what? Oh, God. You know, like, the light just comes on. It's like, you guys knew, you knew.
I wonder how Dom Matrix is feeling right now.
No, he's probably not feeling great. I mean, you know,
he lost his job after the conference pretty much. Straight away.
Yeah, let's be honest, deservedly so. I mean, the way Don Matcher was taking things was just, I mean, Phil Spencer, to be fair to him, has completely revolutionized Xbox. I mean, we have to remember when Phil Spencer took over Xbox, we're in a dire place. I mean, start of 2014, you know, obviously you had all the mess of the E3 the year before and things like that. And Phil, you know, to be fair to him, it's took him a bit of time, but he slowly but surely he's turned it around and they're in a strong position now. Like, look, I mean, we've said this before, haven't we, Luke? Unfortunately for Microsoft, you know, PlayStation are always going to have that strong... They're just always going to have that strong brand loyalty around the world. I mean, it's just Sony. Everyone knows Sony. Everyone knows what a PlayStation is.
It's ingrained in those countries.
It's ingrained, exactly. It's ingrained in... Especially, like, you look at a lot of the European countries where it's heavily PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I think America is the battleground, really, because America is a... America really is a 50-50 split, isn't it? PlayStation and Xbox, really. I mean, even last generation when Xbox struggled, they still sold a lot of consoles, and PlayStation only just beat them, really. in console sales in the US last gen, which, you know, goes to show that this generation, I think America is definitely up for grabs for Xbox again. And the UK obviously is, you know, quite, you know, they like Xbox as well, obviously. A little bit more PlayStation, but the rest of Europe is PlayStation dominated. And, you know, obviously Japan and things like that have obviously always been heavily towards Nintendo and PlayStation rather than Xbox. But, you know, it is all up for grabs because we look at these moves that Xbox are making and there's rumors of more acquisitions. There's rumors they're going to buy more studios, which is exciting, I think, for Xbox fans.
They're
because
playing the long game. That's what they're doing. They're playing the long game.
I don't know what you think. I wouldn't be surprised if we hear more acquisitions in the next few months. I think maybe a couple more studios they might buy, and big studios. There's rumors about maybe a Japanese studio, which I could see happen. There's even rumors about Sega again, isn't there? Possibly buying Sega.
That's childhood right there. Sega Mega Drive.
Yeah, so, and Sega have a lot of property that would be useful for Game Pass for Xbox, you know, so. Mm-hmm. I could see it happening. I'm not saying it will happen, but the Sega one, definitely, I could maybe see. I mean, it would be another big acquisition, but...
They get Disney Plus under that Xbox umbrella. That just is going to me, that is going to signal that Xbox is absolutely all in on entertainment from any realm that you can think about. Like that signals to me that they're looking to become your one-stop shop for everything. They want you to live and die on their ecosystem, and not because you have to, but because you want to, because all the stuff that you love is already there. So mm-hmm. I can see where I kind of can even tell where the vision of they just everything is there for you. You don't obviously you're going to have great options like the PlayStation and whatnot, but they're making it extremely hard not to look their direction because of all of the stuff that they're going to offer you in one nice package. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I'm assuming as well, though, that the Game Pass would go up in value per month if that was the case. But to
you
be
think
honest,
it'll go up in price.
Yeah, but
They said they wouldn't charge, didn't they? Though for a year or two, so we'll see if they hold their word.
But even if it went to £15 and it's got those services on, I mean, come on, it's kind of a no-brainer.
I personally think they'll do more of a Netflix style pound a month, and then in a few months another pound, another dollar a month. I think that's the way they'll go because that Netflix. I think it's a smart play because we've seen with Netflix. I mean, how many times? I don't know about you, John, but me and Luke, how many times have we had Netflix, Luke, and not watched it for like 3 months, and we've just had it ticking along? And it's like,
to be fair though, I use a family member's Netflix, so I don't have to. I don't pay for it.
No, but you get what I'm saying. I'm saying that like, there's an easy. You must have other subscription services at times where you've just forgot about it. Because it's just an easy thing to forget about, isn't it? Even
well,
with Game Pass sometimes.
I literally, yesterday, I recently cancelled my WWE Network subscription.
Well, there you go, exactly.
Yeah, because I...
what?
I was watching all the old stuff, like the Attitude Rules, and then I was like, right, I need to get rid of this. I don't even use it anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though, but they got you. They've probably got more money out of you than they deserve.
They should have.
And you deserve to give them. And look, we can say like, oh, that's, you know, that's the way subscriptions work. They can make most of their money on people
who forget
to cancel.
I mean,
just the way it works.
Yeah. Don't you guys have commercials too that show you these different services that put all your subscriptions in one program so you don't forget them? Like, have you guys seen?
Oh, no, I've not seen that.
Yeah. There's commercials now for companies that specialize and software that puts all your subscriptions in one tight little package so you can tell, you know, what's coming due and everything so you mm-hmm. don't lose track of your subscriptions. Because like you said, we honestly, I feel like everything is getting right. Like video games, food, everything is starting to rise, you know, in value. So how are people responding by, like we had talked about, putting what we need in a monthly package? So mm-hmm. Instead of buying all this stuff at one point, you know, we just slowly pay for it month by month by month. And okay, so now, for example, for me, I get my groceries delivered. My groceries are delivered to me. I pay a monthly subscription for this to happen. So now I've got my food, my entertainment. You know, what's next? What? I mean, your car insurance is monthly. You literally are going to be paying for everything in the future. Like by 2050. I don't even know. We're probably paying for everything and anything on subscription.
Yeah, it feels that way. Yeah, it feels that way. It feels like everything is going subscription-based these days, which I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but I guess time will tell.
Pros and cons for everything, like in life.
Yeah, that is very true.
It's like Game Pass as well. It's like there's pros and cons. Like, obviously, consumer-wise, it's a big pro, but who knows what unintended consequences these Game Pass sort of like subscriptions will have in the future. We just don't know yet. Obviously, it's too early. So,
yeah, how much of a hit are developers taking to
exactly, yeah,
on, you know, on a pass? Because, you know, obviously they're not going to get that $60 one, you know, whatever. But I don't know. I think people see that the long what's going on here, and that's why everyone's going subscription based, because they do see that you can eventually hike prices, you know, more value, blah blah blah. I think mathematically it'll make sense. It's just not what you want to do if you can't sustain in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, and that's probably a good place to leave the podcast for today. We've had a great chat there, John. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate that. And where can people find you, mate, on socials, Twitch?
I have a pretty unique name, iHeart Anxiety. So it's iHeart Anxiety Bro on Twitch. I do Twitch and Facebook and YouTube, but Twitch and Facebook mainly is where I live at. But yeah, I appreciate you guys. You know, I'm definitely a fan now. So I'll be watching, you know, future iterations and furiously commenting in the sections below.
No, we appreciate that, mate. Yeah. Happy to have you aboard, and it was great having you on. So people definitely go and check out John's Twitch and his Facebook. We'll put all the links in the description below as well, so you can easily find it. And you can also follow me and Sud on social media. Where can people find you, Sud?
Yeah, so it's just on Twitter for me as usual, at David10Spud.
Lovely stuff. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Leld, L-E-L-3-D's, at a 9 the M for Instagram. You can also follow the podcast on social media, on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at CheckReachPod. And if you are watching us on YouTube, please make sure you like, subscribe and comment with your thoughts on the topics we covered today, as that'll really help the channel to grow. And then also, if you are listening to us on any audio platform, please leave us a nice review and pass on the pod. But yep, that does bring an end to the podcast, and we'll be back next week to discuss some more gaming news. Cheers, guys. Bye. Bye. We'll be right back.